The OneStream Global Education Services team proudly presents the OneStream Podcast with your host, Peter Fugere.
Greetings, fellow OneStreamers, and welcome to the OneStream Podcast, where we explore and examine all things OneStream, talk to experts in the industry, and gain knowledge from some of the brightest minds that help deliver and implement solutions for our clients. This episode is part of the OneStream Press Author Series, where we learn directly from our authors about the topics, tips, and behind-the-scenes workflow that are all part of creating a OneStream Press book. I'm your host, Peter Fugere, Chief Solutions Officer at OneStream Software. And as always, I'm excited about our topic today, OneStream Finance Rules and Calculations Handbook. And here with me to discuss this book is John Golombeski, author of the book. Welcome, John.
Thanks, Peter. Great to be with you again.
Yeah, this is great. So this is more of a follow-up, and hopefully we'll do a little bit of a deeper dive and really hear about, you know, what this book is and why it'd be interesting to a lot of the consultants and even administrators out there.
Awesome.
So tell me about the book. What is this book about?
So you mentioned the title of the book, Financial Rules and Calculation Handbook. And, you know, within the OneStream platform, we have our business rule where we can basically interact with the different elements of the product via scripting. And this book focuses solely on the finance engine of OneStream and writing business rules within the finance engine. And what that means is OneStream, you know, data can be stored in a lot of different places. We have our, you know, staging engine. That data gets transformed and loaded into a cube. We can also send that data into, you know, BI Blend. And so this focuses on the cube. So when you have data that sits in a cube and you want to interact with that data via scripts and rules, you will write finance rules. And typically you're writing calculations, you're interacting with data and calculating additional data based on the data that's in the cube. So it's very narrowly focused on that aspect of the product, but that is an aspect of the product that is very important and is used by pretty much all of our customers. I don't know if we have any customers out there that aren't, you know, using a cube and have data in a cube and are generating calculations. So this is going to be something that every customer, every consultant should be interested in because it's part of every single OneStream implementation.
You're right, John, that the calculations you can do are sometimes to the very specific cell, big allocation swings. And so that's where you see a lot of clients do complicated calculations, if it's for ownership or, like I said, allocations or something like that. So this book covers all that. Let me ask you this. I mean, you know, this is a heavy subject. You know, in my 20 plus years now working with products like this, rules are always one of the things that people struggle with. You know, how did you get into this? I mean, tell me about your career. How did you get to a point where you're writing a book about, you know, one of the heavy lifting things in OneStream? Tell me about it.
Yeah. So, you know, I'll go way back to, you know, when I was in college, I studied finance and accounting. So I didn't have a coding or programming background. I got into an accounting department and worked in corporate accounting. So my background's really on the finance and accounting side. And I think that's common of, you know, across a lot of consultants. You know, consultants can come from the programming side and learn the finance accounting stuff. You can come from the other side and learn the programming and coding behind it. I came from the side where I was working in finance and accounting. And one of my first jobs was at a paint manufacturing company in Pittsburgh, PPG. And they did an HFM implementation. And two of the consultants on that project, one of them was John Von Ullman, one of the founders of OneStream. Another one was Steve Mebius. Steve and I actually started at OneStream on the same day. So we all worked together. And I really liked working with the software. I really kind of loved the project work and decided to kind of point my career in that direction. You know, heard from JVA, John Von Ullman, and he said, hey, we're starting OneStream. And, you know, we're putting together a services team and, you know, do you want to be a part of it? In hindsight, it was a no-brainer decision. I remember thinking about it and, you know, thinking if this was the right move, joining a startup, you never know what's going to happen. Obviously, it was, you know, a very good decision given the growth and success of OneStream. And Peter, you actually hired me Remember, you flew out to Pittsburgh. We had lunch.
Cheeseburger, if I recall, John.
Yeah,
cheeseburgers.
We went to one of the best burger places in Pittsburgh. It was called Burgatory. And that was basically the interview. We just kind of, I think we talked about, you know, we talked about career stuff for like 5 or 10 minutes. And then the rest of the time we talked about the Steelers and the Patriots and, you know, how many more Super Bowls Tom Brady was going to win and all that stuff. So I was able to, you know, have a very early start at OneStream and was able to learn a lot from guys like you, Tom, our CEO, Bob Powers. You know, at that time we were a much smaller company. I was able to kind of have direct access to them. And that's really how I learned, is just kind of soaking up information from Bob. You know, he's the guy that wrote the finance engine and the whole API library of functions. So learning from him was, that's the best, you know, resource you can learn from right there. When you're learning how to write rules in OneStream, it's very specific to our product and the data that resides in our cube, our multidimensional database. So, you know, learning those concepts is probably even more important. And so you take kind of some basic programming knowledge, combine it with the knowledge of the OneStream engine, and, you know, you're going to be able to get really good. So that's kind of why I wrote the book. You know, I'm kind of the perfect poster boy for who this book should be for. Somebody that, you know, doesn't really have a programming background, and somebody that was a very pretty much a beginner and learned. So I sort of took like, okay, what would have really helped me? And, you know, so the book really kind of starts at the very basics. It starts at the foundational concepts that you have to know, and it builds up to more complex, you know, complex examples and, you know, complex rules, you know, that ultimately are the companies we work with are, they have complex business operations. Everything's very specific to them. So, you know, you have to be able to solve a lot of different types of problems and a lot of times a lot of complex different problems via rules.
Well, you know, that's one thing I think really comes across in the book is you did do a great job of sort of building up. I can see the sort of the logical progression of, you know, some of the core concepts and how they build on each other. So, John, let's talk about the duckies. So at Splash, Amanda Goroleski, who runs OneStream Press, she was handing out these blue rubber duckies. What is that about? I know it from reading the book, but maybe give our listeners a little bit of color that haven't heard about this yet. And then let's talk about, you know, how you develop the rules and why that rubber ducky is important.
Yeah. So the rubber ducky concept is not an original idea for me, but it goes back to sort of a troubleshooting technique in programming in general. And it can actually apply beyond programming, but I'm sure a lot of the listeners can relate to this. But if you're working in software and you have a bug, you're trying to troubleshoot that bug, something's just not working. You've tried everything. You're kind of just pounding your head against the desk and you can't figure it out. So you ping a colleague and you start explaining the issue to them. So you're going through step by step and explaining it. And as you're explaining it to your colleague, the problem jumps right out at you. And you say, oh, I didn't set this setting, or this is wrong in my code. And, you know, the person that, the colleague that you called is just like, oh, happy I could help, even though you just, by explaining it to them, you sort of found your own issue. And in programming, if you don't have a colleague to explain something to, or you just don't want to bug somebody, or maybe it's midnight and you're trying to, you know, fix this issue so that, you know, for the customer in the morning, and no one's around, you explain the issue to an inanimate object such as a rubber ducky. And so it's called rubber ducky debugging, where you literally just explain your issue to an inanimate object. And so in the troubleshooting section of the book, I mentioned that technique because honestly, it sounds a little silly, but it is very effective. And I've used it many times, and I'm sure a lot of people can relate that as they've explained an issue to a colleague, they've sort of solved their own issue. And just the act of explaining it will help something just jump out at you as you go through it. So that's the origin of it. And I thought it was a really good idea by Amanda to have, you know, these OneStream rubber duckies, you know, made and handed out with the book. And I have one. It's sitting right on my desk. I actually use it. I actually, you know, will explain some issues to it. So it's my, you know, it's something I actually do use as well.
Yeah, you're right, John. As you're working through it, as you talk through and say what it is, you realize you're missing a hole or a piece of something. And I think it makes a big difference. And that's just not for developing rules, but troubleshooting them too, I would think, right?
Yeah, it's mostly around the troubleshooting. And there's a chapter in the book about troubleshooting. So I tried to kind of compile, you know, all the different, you know, common issues that you could have, common errors. You know, everybody's, you know, had a bug in their script or not, you know, maybe it's just, you know, you're trying to get a report to work, right? And you're trying to troubleshoot through it. So, you know, I think it applies to, you know, broadly across the product is if you're trying to troubleshoot anything, but specifically there's a whole chapter in the book on troubleshooting, which I think would be helpful, you know, having just a compilation of all the common errors and common issues that you might run into. And hopefully we'll save, you know, some of the readers some pain and suffering that I've gone through in figuring them out. And so, you know, hopefully I can save some people some time out there if they, you know, if they read that chapter.
So, John, I always ask everybody to talk about OneStream as a platform, because I think the whole, it's not just a concept. It's not just a sales tagline or something that we throw out there. I mean, I really think OneStream absolutely is a platform software. Talk about how it being a platform, you know, changes the way you think about rules. I mean, you know, when you're developing a rule for one purpose, you really get to use it for other things. And the language is all the way, is the same all the way through the product, you know? So it's this really powerful concept. How does it being a platform impact rule development for you?
Yeah, that's a great question. And as you mentioned, I mean, financial rules are on one specific area of the platform, and it's on the financial engine or the cube, kind of the same thing. But you can write rules, and we talked about like the staging engine, you know, data that we load in from an Excel file or from another database, we pull it into OneStream, we pull it into a relational table. You can write rules on that data. And it's going to be a little bit different on the type of rules you're going to write. As you said, you're probably not going to be doing heavy calculations there. You're probably just going to be doing some cleanup of the data. You might be parsing out, you know, maybe the first three characters from a column of a spreadsheet or something. But again, you're just manipulating data. So, you know, the concepts are really the same. You write rules in the same language. You use the same API engine. You just might be using different functions. So, you know, specifically to the finance engine, as you're writing rules across the platform, you want to think about the data that you're working with. And, you know, you mentioned that it's cube data. It's multi-dimensional data. We have 18 dimensions. So those rules are specific to that type of data. And you want to make sure that you're doing, you know, you're manipulating the data in the same place. You'd never want to load data from a file that wasn't cleaned up and have to clean it up inside of the cube. You do that outside of the cube in the staging engine, and you clean it up there before it goes into the cube. You know, so that's just a way to think about kind of the different aspects of the OneStream platform and where you might write rules for each specific, you know, as data moves through the specific parts of the platform.
John, when I would write rules, I would actually have sort of, I call it a rules inventory. And so out of my design session, I'd know everything I needed to write. With OneStream, I really found it really useful because not only did I need to know I had to write it and test it and, you know, validate it and everything else, but where the rule was going to run. And that's how I used to keep track of it. I had like a simple spreadsheet. It let me drop that stuff in the design document and sort of go from there. How do you keep track of all the rules you're developing? And are there any tips or tricks you'd give to any of the listeners out there for how you'd manage rule development?
Yeah. So, in the book, we talk about, you know, similar to what you said, there's a, you know, I call it a calculation matrix, but it's really, yeah, a spreadsheet inventory of all of your rules and all of your calculations. So you might want to separate that out by, you know, individual accounts that are calculated. You might have different calculations that run for different scenarios. You might have a budget calculation. You know, if you're calculating sales for your budget, you might just be taking, you know, simple price times volume to get your sales. That might be a little bit different for your forecast. You know, you might have different scenarios where the calculations differ. So, you know, very quickly, you're going to have a, you know, you might have a large inventory of rules and different rules that run for different scenarios, different time periods. So organization is very important. And so, you know, we talk about a calculation matrix. It's really just a spreadsheet. It's an inventory of all of your rules. You know, that's something that I think is very important to get fleshed out as much as possible during the design phase. Of course, it's going to change as you start, you know, writing the rules and actually building everything. But so you want to keep it as sort of a live document, you know, and in the book, we try to give examples of how to use that calculation matrix. And there's actually, if you download the application and the supporting code, that comes with it. So you'll get that kind of template to use to start out. And then OneStream, within the OneStream platform itself, there's a sort of an organization of rules. Our business rule library organizes rules by the type. And I mentioned this in the book. It's, you know, the rules are going to be basically organized by the engine that they run from or run on. So your finance rules are going to be in the finance rules, you know, section group. Your parts or rules as you're interacting with, as I mentioned, the stage data. You might have, you know, dashboard extender rules where you can manipulate objects in a dashboard and write rules to run in that section of the product. So OneStream has it sort of in the business rule library. It's organized. And then, of course, we have the ability to write member formulas. And so that creates sort of its own organizational structure where you just have each rule running on the member, on the account that it's associated with. And, you know, that's a nice way to organize them as well, because it's just, you know, if I'm calculating sales for my budget, I go to the sales account, I look at the formula on that account, I change the drop down to budget, and it will show me the rules that are running in the budget. But so it's good to have kind of both of those, the organization within the product, and then also like a supporting Excel document that kind of keeps that reference point so that, you know, everybody can just kind of see, an administrator can see all the rules that they have, where they're running. That's going to save you a ton of time. If you get that right, or get that as close to right as possible in the beginning of the project, like you said, during the design phase,
yeah,
that's going to save you. It's really going to help you out down the road, because when you go to test everything, you know, testing is, I always say, like, writing rules and just writing code in general is like, it's 10% or maybe even 5% of actually writing the code, and 90 to 95% is testing. And so you spend most of your time just sitting there and testing, and you might go back and tweak, but your testing is a big part of it. And if you don't have all your rules organized so you can test and check them off and, you know, go through the approvals if you need, you know, as the developer of the rules, I need to test them and make sure they work. But then I also, the customer has to go ahead and do their review of it to make sure that they're, you know, the data is correct and the rules working correctly. So having that inventory or that calculation matrix in an Excel file is going to really help with that as well. And then, you know, that's something that would just go right into the admin guide or, you know, the ongoing maintenance, so that can be, you know, updated as they move forward and maybe calculations change, rules get added. So that's just something that will just live on from design phase all the way through the life of the solution.
Well, you know, there's another thing with the product too that I'm always surprised people don't know about, and that's the system reports around rules. So like as you're explaining the rules, John, and you got rules in member formulas, maybe by scenario, by time periods, you've got actual formulas in business rules. That's admin, that system report does a great job of listing everything that's running, you know, gives you that inventory. And if you've got good commentary, it's actually even more useful. It also flags when a rule isn't performing well. And I'm surprised people don't know, too, that OneStream will actually keep track of rule changes, you know, so that you can see a history of what rules have changed where in the application. So it's pretty, I think that's pretty powerful.
Yeah, we have, you know, some utilities that will allow you to sort of go back, and if you change a rule and you need to go back to a previous version, you know, you can actually see sort of a history of all the edits of the rule, which is really useful. You know, one of the great things about OneStream is everything is sort of stored and maintained, and the whole history of everything is in, you know, a lot of these, you know, SQL tables on the back end, but you can access those. And there's a lot of system reports that are just kind of pre-built canned reports that will give you visibility into your whole inventory of rules and the whole version of them all the way back. And so if there's something that you need that's not in the sort of standard reports, and there's a lot in there, you can always write your own reports that maybe give, you know, a different view of the rules or a different way of looking at them if the customer wants something a little bit different or maybe a little bit more, you know, detailed, then you have that ability as well. So there's a lot of good tools that are sort of already out there that, you know, sometimes aren't taken advantage of. But, you know, that's definitely another thing that's covered in the book is just how to access all of those reports that, you know, you can just kind of pull them right off the marketplace, and they're standard. And there's a lot of good utilities out there that, you know, we have our, you know, application solution tools that will, you know, allow you to drill into rules that might be taking a long time. You don't have a calculation that's running long. It will give you sort of a list of those to look at. So a lot of good tools that will help you both manage your rules, troubleshoot your rules, all of that. And that's something that's covered in the book as well, and is, I think, will be really useful to everybody as well.
So, John, what do you think the most important takeaway for readers of this book is? I mean, we've talked a lot. There's a lot of information in here. If you could have them sort of absorb one thing, what would it be?
I think that comes down to the audience of the book. And I mentioned this in kind of the introduction and of the book. And really, the audience for this book is first and foremost, people that are completely new to OneStream. And so I sort of, as I mentioned before, I wrote it for like myself that was starting at OneStream 9 years ago and, you know, just learning rules. And so, you know, for that audience, I think the most important takeaway is just understanding is, you know, not getting sort of overwhelmed and intimidated by the coding and programming aspect to it. It's just understanding the core concepts of OneStream, and then the code will, you know, that's just all, you know, just getting the syntax correct. If you understand the core concepts, then that's going to be the biggest takeaway, is just understanding that. I think for the veterans that maybe say, well, I know how to write rules. I'm proficient. I'm comfortable writing rules. I've done complex rules. You know, you're going to, for those readers, you know, I think you'll find something useful in probably every chapter of the book. But if you had to skip ahead, you know, go right to the troubleshooting and performance chapters, the last two, because I learned a lot writing this book on ways to make rules run more efficiently. And I could go back to some rules that I wrote even relatively recently where I could say I can 100% make those rules more efficient. Now, they run fine and they're not, you know, causing any issues, but I could 100% make those rules better, make those rules faster. So I think that, you know, I always say if I learned something from writing the book and through research or talking to colleagues, I had some really good technical editors on the book. I'll shout out, you know, Erica Smansky and Tommy Sandy did a great job sort of being a, you know, sort of a sounding board for ideas and giving me some of their, you know, tips and experiences as well. And so I even learned, you know, some techniques and some how to use some functions that I hadn't used before. So I think for the veterans, you know, their takeaway is going to be really in those sections where they're going to hopefully learn, you know, maybe a couple tips or nuggets of how to write rules more efficiently, how to do something with less processing time. And so I think that'll make a big impact across projects that use rules is, you know, anything that can run faster is going to be a big win on any project. So I think those are probably for the two different audience, those are the takeaways. And I will mention also that there's a full application. So all the examples in the book, I kind of created this fictitious company based on, you know, one of my favorite TV shows growing up, Three Stooges. And so I just had, you know, kind of Moe, Larry, and Curly were always, they're trying to write rules to manage their exterminator business. And So there's all the examples and use cases are actually in an app that you can download. So there's a link given to you when you buy the book. You can download an app. You can run all of the code, all of the script that's in the book. So that's going to be also another aspect of this that I think is going to be very helpful. So not only just reading about it, but actually having an app where you can actually run the calculations in the examples in the book. You can, you know, manipulate it. You can use them, copy paste them, you know, to help you with maybe some rules you're trying to solve on implementation. So I think I wanted to mention that because I think that, you know, that's going to be very useful, is actually having access to the source script that was used to do some of these examples. And, you know, they are real world examples. They are examples that I pulled from, you know, my own experiences, and had, you know, colleagues I pulled from their experiences, and they gave good, you know, use cases and examples that they've seen in the real world. And I put those in the book and in the application that you can download as well. So I would definitely, you know, encourage everyone to leverage that as well. Because I think that's probably just as valuable as the book itself.
It's always good to have good examples. I agree. John, thanks for coming back to the podcast and bringing your expertise today. Thank you, fellow OneStreamers, for joining us. Remember, if you like this content, please don't forget to hit subscribe. And while you're at it, maybe go back and check out John's and my discussion foundation series on cube design, where we talk a lot about the design concepts that really work well in OneStream. And also, check out OneStream Finance Rules and Calculations Handbook. It's available at onestreampress.com or where all major books are sold. I look forward to bringing you another exciting podcast. And until then, take care, and I'll see you next time on the OneStream Podcast.
The OneStream Podcast is brought to you by the OneStream Global Education Services team.